I believe life is one big spiritual creative experience, and everything that we do, whether it's start a business, write a book, fall in love, or I don't know, pull a bunch of tarot cards, has a little spiritual lesson wrapped up inside of it. I'm obsessed with trying to understand the mysteries of the world, from the arcane to the mundane, and unboxing as many spiritual lessons as I can. And on the 12th house, we're going to explore all of that. So let's get into it together. Hi, welcome to the 12th House Podcast. I'm Michelle Palazon Lipsitz, and I am delighted that you're here. Welcome back to the show. What's up? We have a little bit of a different show today. Normally, we have our Friday philosophies where we are deep diving on some sort of framework or meaning-making system or mental model, you know, all the favorite things. But this week, we have something a little different. I got the chance to sit down and chat with Jazz Borey. Jazz is a coach and an entrepreneur and a firecracker of an astrologer. And I just had such a fun time chatting with her. Jazz was introduced to me by Chelsea Reif, who's been on the podcast before and is an incredible podcast coach and interviewer and podcaster herself. How many times can I say podcast in one episode? But when Chelsea gives me a recommendation, I do not take it lightly and I say, bet, where can I sign? And of course, talking to Jazz was no exception. I had a really good time and I think that you'll really like this episode. Jazz definitely has a different perspective on entrepreneurship and spirituality than I do. And not in a way that's like, wow, we totally see things differently. But it's always refreshing to hear someone else's take that isn't necessarily how you see the world or how you've experienced the world yet. Or to hear someone's take where you're like, oh, right, yeah, I totally forgot about that. I haven't considered that in a long time. And maybe that framework or that way of viewing the world is worth bringing back up into question or into trial, you know, on trial for me to see the world again. I've been thinking about this a lot, basically like concepts and ideas that maybe I was introduced to years ago, but I didn't really take seriously or just didn't feel like they were in alignment at the time. Like they didn't feel like a snug fit. And I've maybe written off or just, you know, been busy and trying other ways of seeing the world. And now I'm kind of coming back to them. The reason that this happened is because I finally unpacked all of my books. We moved in August and our books had been sitting in our bedroom in boxes for a really long time. It's the last thing we unpacked. And I unpacked all these books that I read and some that I really liked and some that I didn't like and all of my journals. And, you know, I'm mostly an e-reader these days, but there's something about having those physical books in your hands that, goddamn, there's nothing like it. Love a physical object. And it really had me sort of looking at my library and wondering, what is worth a reread? You know, now that I'm older, not necessarily wiser, but definitely older. What maybe can I begin to unlock now that I just didn't have the tools to unlock and understand before? Not that I was stupid or not that you were stupid or didn't have comprehension or whatever. It's just that sometimes we need to go through experiences in order to unlock lessons. And before we come to the lesson before we're ready, there's just nothing there. It's kind of like cracking open an oyster. There's not necessarily going to be a pearl there until there's been some, like, you know, agitation. So anyway, that's all to say that this was a great conversation with Jazz and got me thinking about a lot on my end. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. So without further ado, let's get into the episode with Jazz. Honestly, like, you're such an intellectual and also I was thinking like spirited person. And I like that about you a lot. What drew you to astrology and to becoming an astrologer? Because I feel that so many people think that astrology is sort of like up in the air, ephemeral, sort of like mutable. And you don't seem like that type of person to me. So maybe I'm just reading you all wrong, but tell me like a little bit more about how you landed here now.
Yeah, you would be reading me correctly, for sure. It's funny because, yeah, I came to astrology because I was lost. I wanted to understand myself a little bit more. And let me reframe that. I guess I wasn't necessarily lost, but I'm a Gemini. I'm a double Gemini. I've got a Scorpio rising. I am just incredibly dedicated to the truth and understanding things just in general. I am somebody who wants to make sense of the world, but is also happy to leave pieces to the unknown as long as I know that I can't ever know that thing. And so I guess when it comes to astrology, it's one of those modalities that just on my quest of understanding myself on a deeper level and really getting to know my purpose. My purpose was something that I didn't quite fully have a grasp on. I was a musician, an independent artist for 10 years. I did that my whole life. I grew up in the entertainment industry. I booked my first job when I was 4. So yeah, like I was in a musical and like did that, didn't go to school, and I was like 4 years old or 5 years old. And I was always told that like this is what you were going to do. This is what you were born to do. This is your talent. This is your gift. And then when I stepped into making my own music, and I'd been doing that for a couple of years, a while, about 8 years, that I realized that like, sure, like there was still this emptiness. There was still this void. I still had this question of what is my purpose? And I'd been doing this my whole life. And I think even just the quest of like, is what I thought I would do when I was like 6 years old. Like that was my dream from when I was a child. Is that really what my purpose is? Or have I just been conditioned? I didn't have that languaging back then, but I was working corporate at the time to fund being an independent artist because that's really expensive. And I was really successful at that job. And what I found during that job is that I really loved business. I really loved business just in general. I loved sales. I loved strategy. I loved talking to people. I loved making money. Mm-hmm. I loved sales psychology. So there was things that I started to learn in that job that really helped me in my music. But the thing was, is people were coming up and asking me, how are you making so many sales? How are you doing this? I ended up being like the top salesperson in Australia at my job. Like it was crazy. And I was like 23. People were like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know. But
because, just talking, like, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know, like being nice to people. Like I'm not sure. But what I realized through this quest of trying to understand myself, it made everything that worked out in my life make sense when I looked at my astrology, when I found out about my double Gemini in the seventh house, when I found out about my Mercury in Gemini in the seventh house, when I found out about my south node, you know, in Gemini in the seventh house. Like I found out about my this like big stellium, and I found out about my Leo midheaven. Made a lot of sense as to why I was drawn to being on stage and the entertainment industry and all these things. But my Chiron's also there. So it made a lot of sense as to why there was still a lot of healing that I had to do through that, through my career, through just in general. It made a lot of sense why I was even asking the questions that I was asking. And so when I looked at astrology, and I was really fortunate to be able to connect and collaborate with an astrologer who ends up becoming my mentor, and I apprenticed under her for about 2.5, 3 years. And it was really great because she really saw that I had a gift. She really saw that I understood this language. It wasn't a language that I was ever really confused by. And I like to think that that's something that was connected to a past life for sure. I think that astrology is really confusing for some people, and it's not to say that it's gatekept. I do astrology apprenticeships myself now, but it's like there is a gift in being able to really understand and disseminate this information in a powerful way. Anybody can learn this, but I do think that it is a skill that is honed at the very least, let alone a gift that you can read this and really make this a career. But once I uncovered it, I was a goner from there. Like I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning researching this thing. And something I always ask my clients is like, what do you lose time doing when they're trying to figure out their purpose? Like what's the thing where time sort of falls away? Is it watching TV? Is it watching films? Is it listening to music? You know, is it astrology? Because that's really just a very powerful indicator that I learned firsthand that, like, this is what you're meant to be doing. This is where joy is. This is where ease is. And your abundance, your prosperity, your success is very much connected to the flow state. Like, if you're getting into a flow state with something, then that's something to look at. And we live in 2023 where you can monetize basically anything, baby, you know? So
I was thinking about that last week. I got my eyebrows done and I was like, damn, I just paid this girl like $40 to pluck my eyebrow hairs. Like, you can literally do anything you want. Like, you could be a professional pimple popper. And
yes,
like, what do you like doing? Like, you can get paid to do that probably, you know? It's just, you got to be a little bit creative about maybe how you go about it. But I'm really curious. I think that, at least for me, like when I was confronted with like my purpose, capital P, I have a very similar story to you. I was a professional dancer and my whole life people were like, this is your gift. This is what you have to do. And I did it. But I also felt so empty when I actually was doing that as a professional out in the world. I was like, for what? Like, why am I doing this thing? Like, what am I here to say? No one's seen, like, is anyone taking this seriously? I feel like I could be changing the world in a much more meaningful way. Not that art isn't meaningful, but I didn't feel like I was making meaningful art or, you know, participating in meaningful art. And it made me feel really confused because to your point, I felt like everyone told me this is what I'm supposed to do. And when you're really good at something, you feel like you gotta like sort of like follow it to its logical end or conclusion. And I only felt a breath of fresh air or breath come into my body when I realized that my purpose wasn't a job or to do one thing. I feel my purpose is to experience as much as I possibly can in this human body, because that's what I came here to do, is experience the depth and the range of what it is to be a person on this planet. Do you find that some people need a Piscean answer like that to their purpose, and others need a very like prescriptive, I am an accountant for female business owners, and this is what my purpose is? Like, talk to me a little bit more about just how you wrap your mind around the term purpose and how you explain it to people, especially as an astrologer.
This is such a great question, because I don't think there is a right or wrong answer. I think it really comes back to what's right for you. And I think this is also the difference between an esoteric entrepreneur and a regular entrepreneur, which is something I talk about a lot. So yes, I do think that there are people who are like, tell me what it is that I'm meant to do. Mm-hmm. But whenever I hear that, I'm like, cool, we need to have a whole other conversation about like your worthiness. Because if you are searching for a career, and I can say this because this was me, if you are searching for a career that is going to help you feel worthy, meaningful, needed, seen, heard, loved, applauded. I just told you guys, I have a Chiron in Leo. and it's on my fucking midheaven. Like, you know, like if you are looking for that, it's going to be a very empty solution. Like, it's going to feel really empty, because your career cannot physically love you. Your business cannot physically love you. I think it's like Lady Gaga said, it was like, I'll never wake up in the morning and, you know, my work will never tell me that it doesn't love me anymore. It will also never wake you up in the morning and tell you that it does. Right? So I remember when I heard that quote, I was like, oh my God, yes, like that's me. Like I was so career focused. I was so career focused from such a young age. And so I understand that desire to fully understand like what that thing is, what's the label, what's the title. I chased that literally up until last year. Like I chased that for so long. And I even built a business that was void of true, deep, authentic values. You know, I built something that made me money, made me a lot of money. It was great. I was actually saying to a friend the other day, like, I built a business. I didn't build a brand. You know, like I built a transactional experience. I built, you know, sales, but I didn't build a brand. And as someone who came from being a musician where you're basically all brand, I mean, obviously it's product, but it's really big on brand. I think it just felt really refreshing to sort of take myself out of it. And so it's beautiful because about a year ago, I kind of stepped into what you were saying of just going, this is an extension of me. This is an expression of me. I'm an entrepreneur and that's in my blood. That's not something that I choose. That's something that I cannot do. Like, I can't go without not having a business. I can't go without that creative experience of solving problems and finding solutions and selling them to people and all of that. Like, it's just a conglomerate of everything that I love. My purpose, when I look at it from an astrology perspective, is really your whole chart. Firstly, that's another one thing. There's no one part of your chart that's going to tell you your purpose. It's your whole chart because, just like you mentioned, it's like your human experience, your soul's expression is your purpose. And if you are the type of person who would like to monetize that, great, let's do that. You get to choose to do that. There's no part of your chart that says stay inside. There's no part of your chart that says get off social media. There's no part of your chart that says get on it either. You know, it's really about figuring out the conversations that all of your placements are having so that you can express what your soul came here to be. That's what evolutionary astrology, which is what I practice, is literally about in comparison to Vedic or modern or whatever. Evolutionary astrology says that as the astrologer, I am here to ask and understand what the soul has come here to experience in this lifetime. And why? Not just full stop, but and why? So that's why I love evolutionary astrology, because it asks us as the astrologer to bring in your experience, to look at your past lives, if you're down for that, to look at the soul experience as a whole, and even like where the soul is going. You know, it's really connected a lot to like the North Node, and that axis is really portrayed on more of a spiritual plane rather than like your comfort zone and whatever. Like, it still is that, but it's very spiritual in evolutionary astrology. So I think when it comes to purpose, it's okay to want those answers. It's totally okay. And you can create them, but you have to understand that like there's no right answer. It's really a choice. And you get to express your purpose in many different ways throughout your lifetime. And rather there being just like this one answer. We actually talked about this in the episode of my podcast of like, there's nothing that's all good or all bad. You know, it's very much like, instead of trying to find the answer, rest assured in the fact that you have options, that you have choice, that you have autonomy, and that you get to choose how you want to express your purpose at this point in your life. And if you fall in love with that and you do it for the rest of your life, amazing. But you don't have to, because you always have other options of how you can express what your soul came here to be. And that is esoteric entrepreneurship. It's saying, hey, I want to scale my business. I want to do it through impact. And then the money kind of comes as like the secondary versus let me scale to a million. Hopefully I make some impact, right? There's nothing bad either or. It's just a different way of doing business, a different lens, a different entry point to cultivating success.
Yeah, it strikes me that what you're pointing to is sort of like within the zeitgeist, or I guess like as a generational shift that I think we're seeing with a lot of people our age. You're Gen Z, right? Or you're millennial?
I'm millennial. I'm like late millennial, 93. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So millennials like us and Gen Z, I remember graduating from college and being like, I'm going to have like 20 jobs. And that's so embarrassing. Like, I want to just have one career that I do forever, that I do for the next, you know, 20, 25 years. And slowly coming to the determination that like, it's actually kind of cool to have lots of jobs, because I learn a lot at each job that I go to. And like, it's kind of like different, visiting different planets, you know, you pick up different skills and groceries over here that you need at the next place. And, or even like going through the levels of a video game, like, okay, cool, I needed that stuff to get to the next video game level. Now, Gen Z, I think they say that they'll have like 15 jobs, like 15 different careers in their lifetime, which is So, I mean, my dad's had the same job his entire life.
Same with my parents. Yeah. Same with my parents. I love this conversation because this is actually really integral. When I realized this, it really set me on the path of not just doing like personal development, but actually starting to understand that it was my career that was really important to me before I even found astrology. Mm. My career was really important to me, and it is an expression of who I am. Like, it's an expression of my passions. Like, it's in Leo for a reason, right? My midheaven. So it's like, I read this book called The Multi-Hyphenate Method. I highly recommend it. It's by a beautiful author called Emma Gannon. And she was really like pioneering this idea of like working from home. Like, this was back in like maybe 2015, 2016, I think that book came out. And I remember listening to it and feeling so seen, not only like through my Gemini now in hindsight, but she was saying like, you can be sales consultant and poet. You can be musician and accountant. You can be everything that you want to be. And, you know, millennials actually really prioritize and value flexibility, whereas the generation before us valued stability. And Gen Z is going to be on a whole another level. I think it's probably autonomy is probably a really big one for them. They want to be able to feel really free and autonomous. We were like, yeah, we want that. But like, we were also very like conditioned from our parents too. So it's interesting to now know the astrology behind that. And I can see like what I call the millennial stamp. So if you're a millennial, you definitely have Uranus and Neptune in Capricorn in some part of your chart. And I call that the millennial stamp because we're really here to kind of break that conditioning. We're here to redefine what a boss looks like. We're here to redefine what a leader looks like. We're here to redefine what work looks like, what climbing a mountain looks like. We're here to do it with purpose and soul, like it's Neptune, you know? So it's like we're really here to do things differently. And specifically in like the work, career, corporate space as well.
I think that we definitely see that, especially in the mainstream. Like, I mean, it feels like there's a Business Insider article every freaking day about how millennials and Gen Z are different and want so much. But I also think that that rings true to me in the spiritual world. There's such a different perspective and approach between old New Age and like current spirituality. And I think a lot of the rules, the laws, the ways of doing things that have been sort of like, this is how we do them. Like, these are the spiritual laws. They apply to everyone the exact same way. Actually don't. They don't. They don't actually apply to everyone the same way anymore. And I know in the Akashic Records, my teacher, Dr. Linda Howe, says, you know, these weren't like accessible to everyone until very, very recently. It was only people who meditated on the mountain for, you know, 50,000 hours or who were like high priests or high priestesses who could access these records. But then things shifted. Same thing with human design. They, you know, like things shift with a generation and now our abilities have changed. And I'm just curious, you emailed us and talked to us a little bit about the laws of success versus the unique soul's path to success. And I would love to hear more about that. I wonder if it coincides with my theory that like spirituality in and of itself is shifting and our strategies with spirituality.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always say like the laws of success and the path to success are different and both essential to understand in order to achieve what I like to call like holy fuck success. Like the kind of success that you're like, what the fuck? Like how the hell did this happen to me? We all desire that. We all desire to be successful. And the reason I bang on about this is because I truly believe we live in a better world or happier world when we're all successful, whatever that means to you. You know, success to my mom versus success to me looks very, very different. You know, versus, you know, generationally, geographically, we all have our own definition of success.
Wait, when was your holy fuck success moment? Like, what's your example for you?
I mean, I feel like I have them all the time. I mean, I truly live a life that even now when things are not going like super well, like, I mean, things are going well, like everything's great. I'm like getting married and like I have this business and whatever, but there's shit that's like going down right now in my life, you know, like there's stuff that's like not super great. And even in that, that's a holy fuck success moment for me because I'm like, this part of my life is so fucking shit and like not working in the fucking slightest. And I feel shame and I feel guilt and, you know, all these things that, you know, like the lowest vibrational feelings. And yet it's fucking Monday morning and I'm like about to get on and record a podcast with someone I've admired for a really long time. Like that's a holy fuck moment for me, like the duality of that. But I mean, being able to quit my corporate job and go full time in my business, meeting my fiance was a holy fuck success moment. Something I never thought I'd end up with someone like him. I never thought I mean, he's a scientist. He's an actual scientist. We are the opposite. We grew up very differently. I grew up in the entertainment industry working my whole life. He grew up like by the beach in this like small town, like running around like fucking naked on rocks and shit. I like wasn't allowed to like swim because I might, you know, hurt myself or something. Like it's just like a completely different, we had completely different upbringings. And meeting him after coming out of a abusive relationship, I met him literally, my ex-boyfriend moved out of our apartment. I downloaded Bumble and I matched with him. No. Like it was fucking insane. That's a whole other story. It was like very spiritual, which we can get to. But
whoa,
I feel like holy fuck success is not something that you it's like anything, right? It's not like happiness. It's not something you achieve and you're like, it's done. But it is something that you get to like experience all the time, which is why I also talk about like sustainable success. Like how do we sustain it? Rather than just like achieve it, because I've also done that too, where it's like you get the high and the lows and we want to kind of make it more of a smoother ride. But this is kind of where like the laws of success and the path to success kind of meld together, because yes, there are things that you are going to need to do no matter what in order to achieve success. And I went on a real like pilgrimage with this. Over the last like 2 years, I started to kind of come up with this concept of the laws of success. And I looked at times in my life where I'd had success. I looked at other people's success. I studied other success stories. And I found 4 common denominators. Well, I originally found 3, but then a 4th kind of came a little later. And all they are is action. So you have to do stuff. Attraction, you have to be like available to receive the thing as well. So whether that's like actually having a bank account that allows you to receive the money,
you very know, important. Actually, you know, it's you know, a thing that people forget about. They're like,
it's sometimes, you know, like, are you who you need to be in order to receive what it is that you're chasing, right? Then we also have proximity. So who are you surrounded by? And consistency. So how often are you doing it? And not about like showing up every day on this time. Like that's great. It's really about finding a cadence that works for you, that you can sustain with, you know, your pursuit of success. That's it. That's all you actually need to have in place. The rest, the how, is individual to you. And that's when we're talking about our path to success. Unlocking your own path to success is so important, because if you're on somebody else's path, which means that looks like you're doing things the way someone else has done it or how you've been told to do it, even though it drives you up the wall, it's kind of not working, it just like doesn't feel good whilst you're doing it.
It's embarrassing to you. Like it feels salesy or cheap or gross.
Yeah, it just like doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to end up It will probably work. Like I can say that it will work because all the strategies work. Sales psychology, all the psychology, it all works. But is it going to work for you? Is it sustainable for you? Because here's the other thing, you can even understand exactly what your how is, but if you're not like aerodynamic on that path, if you're not really optimized in your own path to success, then you're going to be walking along that path with weights rather than like getting in a jet plane and going there. So it's really about like unlocking your path to success is completely individual. This is why like I really feel like my mentorship has like an edge to a lot of other mentors in the space, and why I love your work as well is because it's really about individuality. It's really individualistic in such a power, in like the best way, right? Like in the most powerful way. I literally had two people unprompted yesterday send me DMs, and I even did a thread about this. They sent me DMs being like, I just wanted to thank you so much for like really giving me the permission to do business my own way and never telling me that I have to do things a certain way in order to succeed. One of them is a triple water, double Cancer Pisces. You know,
I feel that. Feel that a lot.
She's just started her business, and we've been working together in like these first 6 months of her business, right? And I've been helping her build. And she's not on Instagram, really. She's like doubled down on LinkedIn, and she has a podcast, right? She's like got like two episodes and no audience. She already has clients. She already has options for collaborations. Her LinkedIn's growing really fast, all of these things. And even like with her creative process, I'm like really asking her to lean into her chart. Her chart is the opposite of what we're told is going to make you successful. And here she is getting momentum and garnering success. Like, she has a Pisces midheaven, like her path to success and my path to success is going to look completely different. I kind of do need to be center stage. I need to be front facing. She doesn't really show her face. She doesn't want to. And I'm like, I'm not going to force you to do that. But you've got a Pisces midheaven, like you kind of don't really need to. Like you could use a pseudonym. like I'd be like keen for you to use that strategy, you know? And I think this is where a lot of – this is my gear that I like to grind with the coaching industry and the mentoring industry and even just like the spiritual business community, that there is a certain way to do fucking anything. Like it's such bullshit. Like it's just straight out lies, and it's what's actually kept us small, especially as women. And I'm not going to get on my feminist like soapbox because then we'll be here for a while.
I mean, you totally can, girl. I'm down. I'll go there with you.
You know, like, especially as women, like we've been told who to be, how to be, all of this stuff for so long. And as much as it is the responsibility of the mentee and the coachee to really understand this so that they can seek the help that they need, I also think that the mentees and the coachees are the people who need the help, who are out in the proverbial rain.
You don't know what you don't know. You have no idea. It depends on where you are in your journey. But like, I remember working with a coach, first coach I ever worked with. It was not a good fit. But yeah. I did not know what I needed at that time in my life. I just knew I needed to change. Like something about me needed to change. I did not know what, but I was like down to try absolutely anything. And I think I have to agree with you. That's why coaching gets such a bad reputation, because people come in and say, oh yeah, I can fix this, and I can fix it with my one track, right? Like I can't help everyone, and like not
that's
everyone
consultancy, what you're yeah. saying there, right? That's yeah. a consultant, which is hot, amazing, love it for you. Go be a consultant if that's what you're really passionate about and you have created a framework that you believe in and you know can change lives and businesses, go for it. But you're a consultant, you're not a coach.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Like, and that's like no shade. But
and
need
I would
to
say,
have a distinction.
Totally. And I would say even good consultants should be able to should have many models, like many frameworks yes. that they can pull out of their back pocket, right? And also being able to say like, I don't think I can help you. Like you're not a lost cause. I'm just like not really the right person for you. And I don't know how often that happens. I don't think I've ever met a coach who's been like, you know what? No, I don't think that you're great, but I don't think that like I can work with you. I don't think I can give you what you need. And I don't think that helps anyone. Like,
no, it doesn't. I totally agree. It doesn't. And I think it's because, you know, those lines have been blurred so much. And I think it's really up to the leaders of in the industry or people who are in the coaching industry to really step up and lead here. My thing is like when you're if you're a coach and you're marketing in this way of like, I can fix you, I can help you make, I don't know, I can help you do this thing that, and I can show you the how X, Y, Z and whatever. There's something like inherently fear-based, like that's kind of like fear-based marketing because you're speaking to their fear. If you are selling that way, it's very hard to do that. Like it's very hard to sell a how as like in a really empowered way. Because if someone feels like they don't know how to do something because of the world we live in, that's kind of coming from this like low self-esteem place. So in your marketing, you kind of have to get them to an empowered place so that when they actually come and work with you, they're not super needy. And then they don't, you know, they feel like you're not giving them exactly what they need. You're not just fixing their problem. And I mean, again, I've learned this the hard way. There's no shame about this, but we really have to understand that like the way that we present ourselves and also just like the nature of our programs, product, services, whatever it is that you're selling, individualizing is actually going to get you better results. And that is what is going to actually give you longevity within your business. I mean, you've had your business for 6, going on 7 years. Like, do you feel like now you're like, it's really about like the customer experience and like what they actually like achieve and all of, and how they feel during the process that actually is what helps you, not like, oh yeah, I did it in this short amount of time with this person.
It's always been about like, how can I help those people, right? Anyone, whoever I'm like out to help. But what I've had to learn over and over again is like, but not the way that I think is right. Like I know what I know, right? In my, because I have experience and I can just present what I know and say like, well, this is what I've seen. Let me speak from the eye. This is what's worked for me. This is what I've seen work for other people. Here are the strategies. Like, here's how you can try them out. Here's how to do them. But at the end of the day, it's up to you to actually implement them. Like, I can't go and write for you or copyright for you or whatever it is. And like, this might not work for you. I don't know. Sorry. It might not work. Like, it might not. And that's okay too. And that's really hard to sort of like let go of, because I think especially when I first started Holisticism, I felt personally responsible for every single person's success. And if they weren't successful, I was like, well, I did something wrong, because like I gave them everything that I thought that they needed, but maybe they needed more from me. And so I would give more of myself, and that didn't actually help people. It just burnt me out more. And I think that that might sound like cold-hearted. Or maybe the past version of me would be like, oh, that's so cold-hearted that you're like not trying to bend over backwards all the time and that you kind of like put it in the hands of your customer at the end of the day. But I think that that's the difference between like enabling and empowering people. Enabling is allowing people to not think for themselves, like letting them turn their brain off and sort of coast and hold their hand through it. And listen, you can make a lot of money if you do that with people, right? Like that's like what a cult leader does. Not saying that everyone who does that is a cult leader, but that's effectively what a cult leader does, right? They ask you to turn your brain off and let them think, you outsource the thinking for them. Empowering someone is way harder because that's what coaching is, right? Like it's a consultant versus a coach.
That's what I was going to say. It's totally that. It's consultancy versus coaching. And I think you can teach people stuff. Like I definitely want to make that really clear to everyone. Like I'm not saying don't teach people how to do things. You can still be a coach and teach people how to do things, but it's exactly like what you just said. It's looking at your own self and saying, my neediness to have to change this person's life actually has nothing to do with the purity of me wanting to help this person, of wanting to be of service, and has everything to do with my ego and everything to do with basically just the conditioning that a lot of us, especially as women and even men, like this idea of like having to provide, like it's this patriarchal conditioning that if we are not at service, then we are valueless.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if we're not doing that for everyone and we're not being that for everyone and we're not right for everyone and we're not liked by everybody, then we are not successful. We are not worth it. But what if part of your definition of success, and I've done this very specifically, and I invite everybody to put this into your success vision, is to be unliked by some people. If I'm like, everyone's loving me a lot, I'm like, I'm kind of like, what's going on? Am I being authentic? Am I being who I like? Am I really serving? Or am I just getting addicted to this dopamine hit? Like, it's kind of good if you're fighting with your partner a little bit. You shouldn't just be like, oh yeah, we love each other, it's the best. You should be having discourse. You should be having, you know, there should be some bumps in the road. That's actually a really good sign of positive growth because it means that you're pushing yourself. It means that you are living, that you are businessing, that you are, you know, it means that you're actually in it, you know? And so we have to remember that like not being liked or not being received fully correctly or not being able to help everybody or whatever isn't actually a bad thing, and not from a sense of like be polarizing and then your content will go further. I mean like from a fucking soul perspective of like you need to be yourself. And this kind of like circles back to what we're talking about right at the beginning. It's like your purpose is to be yourself. Your purpose is to express what your soul came here to express and to be successful at it. Like you're not, Buddhists will tell us we're all here to suffer. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but like I think that suffering is inevitable, but I don't think we're here to suffer. You know, I think we're here to be successful. I think we're here to experience joy and love. And you have your own unique way of how to do that and what that looks like for you. And unlocking that and understanding that is so fucking cool when you unlock new pieces. But the journey of it is a lot, which is where I come in. I mean, I can help you and support you and guide you. But regardless, it's still a really wild ride and it's pretty cool and pretty fun when you fully dedicate yourself to understanding what your soul came here to be and pursuing it.
What you're saying about basically you're alchemical, like you, your soul, you, anyone, capital Y, you, listener. It is alchemy, and don't look at it as positive or negative. You are causing a reaction when people experience you. Like, I don't think we want to be neutral, like a neutral agent. I think our goal is to like cause change and evolution in the universe. And when we were speaking last week, we caught you at the very end, like, yeah, you're going to be the monster in someone's basement. And like, you kind of have to be okay with that for a little while. And actually like, wow, what a like sacred role to take on as someone who can hold the projections of another. Like to be okay with others projecting onto you their shadow, their fear, their anxieties, the things that they hate about themselves, perhaps, and working through that with like you as their little projector board. That's really intense. Like what a spiritual experience. And honestly, like what a blessing to sort of be able to put yourself through the fire of getting even clearer, like a diamond on like what you are and who you are. And it fucking sucks. Like it's not easy when people don't like you, you know? It can be very complicated because we of course want to be loved and seen for what we do. And I think that that's just like the dichotomy of being perceived is that, period.
Yeah, I know, I agree. And it's kind of making me think now a lot about like human design. And I am a 3-5. So literally the 5 in my human design is like, I'm kind of here. People are going to project on me anyway. And that can, I can be very inspiring for other people. And people can kind of be very expanded by me. But the flip side of that is people will expect me to like fix all of their problems or like be what they perceive me to be.
Yeah, they'll put you on a pedestal and then push you off the minute that you don't live up to their expectations.
Expectations, yeah. Right? So that story, like I know, right? But so you would think, and I want to kind of like reflect this back to the listener, because if you're like, well, I don't want to hold other people's projections, but I really want to be a coach, or I really want to be, you know, in the spiritual work. I want to be a Reiki. I want to be an astrologer, like whatever it is that you want to be, but I don't want to hold everyone's projections. This is where like, I want you to understand, like I literally have that in my human design. I am a Scorpio rising. So that's like, people are going to have some opinions about how I come off. It hasn't deterred me from creating the business that I want to create. It hasn't stopped me from pursuing, you know, what it is that I want. And it also hasn't been easy, right? Because part of this job is literally to do that. So I want you to know, like, it's about balancing. I've had to set my business up and the way that I do things to make sure that I can still hold the illumination of those placements and those lines and not be pushed into the shadow as much as I possibly can, and also work with tools for when people do have a problem, when people do want me to basically write their sales copy for them. And I say, no, I can't do that. I can edit and I can, you know, that's a service that I offer, but you know, it's not the whole shebang. But it's like, you know, even with social media, like if I say something and you take it the wrong way, or like, not even take it the wrong way, but if you're offended by it, I'm happy to have that conversation with somebody as long as they DM me and they actually ask me a question. So if someone's like, you said this and it made me feel this way and now I don't like you, I can't do anything with that. If they message me and say, hey, you said this thing, it made me feel this kind of way, can you clarify by like what you meant? Like if there's a question mark, then I'm happy to respond. But if there's no question mark, like we're not, like I'm not even going to get into this with you. And that's my boundary, because right now you're just fully in projection. And that's like a big part of like my energy, right? And I've learned that through these spiritual practices. So that's just like one example of how you can start to like still do what you want to do, overcome any of the fears that you have. And it's just a way that you can stay like in autonomy, in your power, and also utilize this stuff to be in alignment at the same time. Because I think alignment and autonomy can sometimes feel like mutually exclusive. Sometimes it's like, oh, there's one way that we're in alignment, but it's like, well, I don't really like love that, doesn't feel good or whatever. You still have autonomy. There's like different ways of like how alignment is expressed. So,
oh yeah. I feel like alignment and autonomy, like the Venn diagram is a circle. They're the same thing to me, but yeah. Yeah. You're reminding me of this quote. What makes it unbearable is your belief that it can be cured, by Charlotte Beck said that, of like, you think that you can be liked by everyone. You think that like you're doing it wrong, that, but it's just, it is impossible. It is just, you know, that's the human function. That's this mortal coil, is that we're not here to be liked and we will not be liked by everyone. And you know, I just have to stop trying, which is really hard, because our entire lives, we're taught the exact opposite, that if we do well in school, if we make good grades, if we just are quiet, if we listen, if we pay attention, if we fall in line, if we follow the rules, then people will like us and like we'll get everything that we want. And we get out into the real world and we realize it's actually the opposite, that it's not when you follow all the rules and do everything the quote unquote right way and the way that other people tell you to do it, that life doesn't blossom from there. Actually,
especially like, now, like, yeah. Like, especially in the digital landscape, especially, you know, in 2023, like now more than ever, your individuality, like I did a thread about this the other day, like a week ago, we were all worried about ChatGPT taking all the writing jobs. And now Threads is here and reminding us that like, oh no, actually your personality can never be replicated by a machine. I mean, not yet anyway. So it's like, you know, unless you have like a personalized machine who is like basically like a clone of you that isn't actually you and like doesn't actually have the soul, like that's like the only time, like, you know, like it's just very, I want everyone to understand. And I even said this, like, I kind of like predicted this whenever, like a couple months ago when everyone was freaking out about ChatGPT. I was like, the only way around this is individuality, is authenticity, is personal brand, is creative thinking, original thought, original ideas. Like ChatGPT or AI can produce art, but it doesn't have a name on it. So there's no brand behind it. You know what I mean? So it's like we need to understand that like our individuality is so fucking important for us to like hone and understand now more than ever, because in the future I think like that's going to be our greatest commodity, because it's what separates us from the robots.
100%. And learning your unique strategies and when to deploy them, and not just being sort of like an automaton. And I, by the way, love AI. I'm obsessed with AI.
Yeah, me too.
I love it. Like, I'm such a huge fan, and I can also tell every single time I'm reading copy that's been, or an email that's been written by AI. I know every single time. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that.
It's just not that good yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that good. And like, even if you're not a very good writer, you're still probably better than ChatGPT. You just are. Like, if you just put a little, put your butt into it, I'm sure it'll turn out better. But I feel like I gotta talk to you for like 6 more hours. We didn't even get to placements. We didn't get to like the meat and potatoes of astrology. But I know you talk about that a lot, and we follow each other on Threads. I'm obsessed with Threads. I think it's so fun.
I think it's so fun. I like love it. It's like my favorite thing ever. And I love following you on Threads. Every time I'm on Threads, I'm like, what has Michelle been saying? What's going on? Like, it's just because you have like, and again, it's a testament to like your personality and like your wit. That's not something that like people can replicate. Like truly, you know, truly, truly, like it's something. I just think it's really interesting. I'm excited to see what happens with Threads. And I think it's really this resurgence of like, your wit, your humor, your personality in such a simple, powerful way. And I'm just really excited to see what happens with it. But yeah, we didn't get to the placements and things, but we can always do a round two. I'm sure you're coming back on my podcast 100%. Like, I'm like, we're going to need more.
Maybe
time
we should do like a live podcast, and we can like take questions or something, and then we could get to like all of it, you know?
Yes. Yes. We should do that actually. Let's like chat about that.
Okay.
But yeah. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. And
oh my God, it was such a pleasure. And how can people find you, and obviously on Threads, but work with you, like learn more about what your offerings are? Where can they stalk you?
Yeah, so you can definitely come and learn from me over on the podcast. That's like the best way. It's obviously free as well to, you know, get in there and ingest content. So the podcast is a really great place for that. It's called the Esoteric Entrepreneur Podcast. And we talk about everything from, you know, business strategy to microdosing. You know,
it's
like we're
so
really
good.
It's very
good. If you like this podcast, you will love the Esoteric Entrepreneur.
The whole basis is really for people to start having deeper conversations with themselves. And so this podcast is really a place for you to have a jumping off point with that. And that's why our listeners love it so much, because it really is this like autonomous but also like fun experience. So definitely go over there. You can also follow me on Instagram. That's a great place to connect. I'm very active on stories and obviously Threads now as well. That's just a great way to be like a part of the like inner community. And then obviously, yeah, you can come and work with me one-on-one. I also have my membership, the Esoteric Entrepreneur Club, where we have all of the incredible like workshops and like spicy content. And, you know, basically it's a membership of like the content you're coach can't post on Instagram. So
nice.
I really go hard in there, but there's a lot of learning opportunities. There's like audio workshops for the new and full moon. So that's really great. But yeah, you can always work with me one-on-one. All that information's always in the link in my bio, which I think will be the link down in the show notes for this. So reach out, let me know that you came from here as well. Like, I always like to know like where people are coming from. So reach out, let's chat, let's connect.
Yay. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jazz. It was so good to talk to you again. Feel hashtag blessed.
The 12th House is produced by me, Katie Dalebout, with theme music by Nathan McKay and edited by the incredible Softer Sound Studio, who you can find more information about in our show notes.